wearing them out. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth.
Do you ever laugh when you see me jump up into the chair, Gabe? I'm cool as ever. We do a little.
You can shrink that down, you know.
I know, but I like to be tall.
Huh. 2 hours a day, you get to be tall.
It's not all it's cracked up to be.
It's not that bad. You're not going to get us on the old, oh, woe is me, I'm taller than the average human bit.
Airline seats hitting your doors, hitting your head on doorways. Clothes are hideous. The clothes, it's just not fair what they do to tall people with clothes. It's ridiculous.
Is it a conspiracy? They're out to get you?
It's something. I mean, I know you need more material, but I'm willing to pay the extra $3 so my navel doesn't have to show. Fair?
Do you think it's a conspiracy with the clothing designers? They're like, no, screw those tall people. They don't deserve good things.
Yeah, the people making the clothes, I guarantee, are all 5'5". Right, Gabe?
Sure. I have no idea. I have never thought once.
He doesn't care.
Before. Well, but before. Well, yeah. You want to know why I don't care? You
why?
Listed off all those bad things. You know what the good things are?
What?
You got to play in the NF freaking L, man. Like, let's.
True.
Let's.
How about back of the line? That one always chapped my gears. All right, go from shortest to tallest. Why? Why not tallest to shortest?
I think it's a sight thing, isn't it?
Well, when I got my diploma in high school, I wanted to be the first one in case they took it away.
Well, I don't think they went.
They
shortest.
Did that alphabetically.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm pretty sure most of those ghosts go by alphabet.
No, not in Frontier Regional in Deerfield, Mass. Jehovah's Witness was
not me doing a nice thing. Yeah. So,
why am I listening to Jen in the background?
Yeah, you're driving the board. You need me to tell you how to drive the board? There you go.
What's going on? You got gremlins again?
Yes.
It's Ford gremlins?
I don't know who I'm supposed to be mad at, but everything's broken back here and I'm ticked off about
it. So you
it.
Are mad. Okay.
You want air grievances? Do you want to blame someone?
Yeah, yeah. It started last night. It started last night. You know who doesn't like tall people?
Joshy?
Yeah.
You missed the point. I sent a picture of the Patriots Day celebration in Boston.
Yes.
A huge day. Huge holiday out there in
yes.
New England.
I was making Jewish fun people. Of the people behind the tall guy who were rather portly and dressed up in their little costumes looking ridiculous.
Well, to be fair, they all look ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, the one guy's got like a lime green coat. Google the picture for Patriots Day. They all look silly. They look like they're little boys playing pretend.
Which is kind of what they are.
I mean, that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah. Is this where they reenact like some of the battles from the Revolutionary War? Is that what's happening here? Like,
yeah.
Whatever it is, they should stop.
Yeah, I mean, the guy.
Josh is in rare form, gang.
Again, I just, the guy in the lime green.
What is that?
Was that a color back in the day? Like, did they even have that? I mean, how historically accurate is this guy wearing his lime green coat? And how upset was everybody else when he showed up in his lime green?
Well, right,
hey, that's not
got,
historically accurate. What the hell are you doing?
They've got variations of gray.
Yeah, gray. You know, the fancy one at the front's got blue.
I'll get this picture on the screen.
This might be a green, like a forest green all the way to the right. But yeah, they look unusual. And yesterday was it Monday? Yes, Monday was Patriots Day in Boston, famously the day of the marathon.
Can I just say this in defense? And I totally agree with it. I just went on GQ. Just went on GQ, and it said the 40 worst dressed cities in America. You know what number one was?
Boston.
Boston.
Really?
Oh, those people dress hideous back there.
You would think that proximity to New York would give them a leg up.
No. Nope. Yeah. So there you go, Josh. And you're just trying to CYA because you're ripping on the tall guy because he looked like a freak in front of all those
He actually looks
small
like the
people.
Coolest one.
Actually,
in the
and yeah, let's just, again, I don't want to let facts get in the way of your great story here, Chew, but he said, why do those guys in the background look so absurd? And then you said, because Lurch is leading the way.
And you're the one who called him Lurch and then accused Joshy of being anti-height.
Look, I don't read everything he says, all right? And then I put it through my translator, what he was really saying, and he was really making fun of the tall guy.
You could have just said, I don't read, and just stop there.
Could have.
So you both are on one this morning.
I'm not. I'm just telling it like it is, like I always do.
We just dump in buckets? Is that what we're doing? Anybody else have complaints? Anybody have anything else they want to get off their chest?
I got nothing. I'm good.
How many, okay, let me ask you, how long is it appropriate amount of time for previews to play before a movie?
Ooh, appropriate amount or what we've just come to expect slash?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's very similar, I guess. You know, very similar to the conversation we had about, you know, what you expect when you're going to the airport.
I like previews.
Yeah, but how
I don't
many
mind.
Previews, too?
Five. Give me five.
Right.
Five.
They're way past that now. They're Are way they really? Past five.
It took 25 minutes to get to the movie yesterday.
What'd you see?
Sinners.
Was it good?
It was very good.
I've heard good things.
It was very good, except I started the movie all pissed off because
there for 25 minutes.
Just, it was unbelievable. And then you get to the end of all the previews. I don't need to see Nicole Kidman telling me AMC is great. Guess what, Nicole? I'm already here. You already got me in the theater. Don't need the ad to tell me go to this theater when I'm already there.
All right, so when Gabe said, does anyone else have anything they'd like to get off their chest?
Come on!
The airing of grievances on
Come
a Tuesday.
Come on!
I'll tell you this, my power rankings are just dominant today.
You'll say that every week. I don't know what to believe. I don't know when to believe you and when not to believe you.
Considering we were on the phone at 6:52 and you go, oh, crap, I have power rankings, I'm inclined to not believe you. I'm inclined to think you're, you know, BSing us.
Well, I just figured out what a tease was. I thought I'd start the day off right with a little tease.
I can't
believe.
Now
he thinks his day is done. He's done a tease. He's got his list. He can just mail it in until he gets to power
rankings. I can't believe how fired up Gabe is about the previews.
Well, I mean, seriously.
I'm with you, though.
At one point, I said something out loud, and I probably said it too loud, that I probably don't want to say, like complaining about what was going on in front of us.
Were there a lot of people in the theater?
There weren't a ton of people because it was a Monday afternoon matinee. No, it was just like, I just let out a JC in frustration.
Oh. Like, you might have yelled out, lube.
I'm not going to steal your material, pal.
I don't mind.
That's one of one, by the way. Nobody else is doing that. And if you missed that conversation, you can find it on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Okay, so I have gotten in the habit of, when going to the movies, not showing up until 25, whatever the movie time is, if I'm especially with my kids, right? Because they've only can sit for so long.
Correct.
And if I expect them to sit for the duration of the movie, I'm not going to steal that time for previews. Plus, it's like watching commercials before Christmas. Now they got all these ideas in their head of the movies that they need to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I just now, you know, booked myself out for the next 6 months. I will go to the movie when I assume the previews end. So if it's a 1 o'clock showing, I will not get to the theater until 1:15. We'll get our popcorn, our slushies, and we'll walk in around 1:20, 1:25. Hopefully now.
So, but again,
we missed the beginning of movies is what I was. Just
yeah, I was about to say
you
don't want to. You don't want to miss the beginning of
movies. A
little
bit of a gamble.
Well, it's shocking that you would show up late and miss the beginning of a movie. I don't think anybody's shocked by that.
You guys, you guys have too much going on in your lives. It's. I mean, you hear yourself for crying out loud. I wake up and get excited to water the plants.
Chewy, you would have been. Although I did see a trailer yesterday that I thought of you and I thought you would enjoy. Some sort of F1 movie coming out with Brad Pitt. Looked like something you might enjoy.
Oh, I think I've seen previews of that. Who else is in it?
I would look forward
somebody
to
else famous.
Going
yeah. Yeah.
To the movies. You guys just have too much. You got to enjoy the little things.
I enjoyed the movie once we got there.
Wait a minute. Yesterday you were TSA complaint guy. Today you're stop and smell the roses guy?
There's nobody who enjoys stuff less than you.
There's no one that likes going to the airport and having to go through the TSA.
Is there anybody who enjoys stuff less than Chewy? Put it on the poll.
I will.
And stuff feels very generic and also appropriate.
And very
stuff.
Accurate. You hate
yesterday.
You hate people. You hate going places. You hate doing things.
No, that's not true. I got a garden down here. And it took me like an hour yesterday to Google how to keep the birds out of my garden.
Took an hour to Google something.
Tracks.
I wanted the right thing. Birds down here are very arrogant. They're like cats.
All right, hold on.
They're like, they think they own the place.
I don't know what that is. That just bird arrogance?
Yeah,
they are so arrogant. I walked around. I got Deuce on my bar. I got Deuce around the pool. And you have to climb up on them in order to fly out. They're just very frustrating.
I don't understand. What do you think you're supposed to do about the Deuce? Where are they supposed to Deuce?
In the grass.
Oh, okay. Birds. Can you fly over there before you do your little droppity drop?
And stop eating my cherry tomatoes. They're not for you. I mean, I'll share, but at least pick the damn thing off the vine. Don't half eat it on the vine.
It
rots.
Here's the thing,
right?
Chewy. Birds, famously not smart.
Really?
Why do you think you call people bird brain?
I didn't think about that. I thought that crows were pretty smart, though. I think I've seen a Mark Rober video. My kid is a big Mark Rober fan.
I don't know who that is.
Scientist guy. Makes science cool for the kids.
So like YouTuber. So a 2025 version of Bill Nye the Science Guy?
100%.
Okay.
100%.
All right.
Yeah.
But
there's stories of crows having like memories.
Much cooler, though.
What are you taking out Bill Nye for?
No, I'm just saying Bill Nye was cool, but this guy I feel like is much cooler. Like, my kids want to watch his videos every Saturday morning. But yes, I feel like he did a video recently that I happened to catch about crows and them being able to pass these tests, these cognitive tests, Joshy, as you mentioned, where they get treats if they do things in a certain order. So I don't know if crows fits in with the old bird brain.
They're a little
metaphor.
Bit bigger. Heads are probably bigger. Like brain's bullies. A little bit bigger.
The only thing good about crows is they're kind of an alarm system for the forest. So when a predator's walking around or something like that, they'll start going crazy.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
Crows have exceptional memory and cognitive abilities, particularly when it comes to remembering individuals, both positive and negative, and sharing that knowledge with others. They can remember human faces for years, even up to 17 years in some cases, and can pass on this knowledge to other crows about potential threats or danger.
That's part of what the
yes, I was about to say, Chewy. I was about to say, now you got to be careful with crows.
Yes, because they will tell other crows about their interaction with you.
Look out
that
for the big
doofus.
That
this guy throws rocks at him?
Crows are known to hold grudges against individuals remembering and reacting to those who have wronged them.
That makes sense.
Yeah, they hate you.
I throw rocks at them because they make a lot of noise.
What are you throwing rocks at
Is
birds
Is that a crime?
No. You think I'm going to hit them?
Might be a crime.
There is a reason that Chewy didn't get the emergency quarterback job when he was with the Packers. He tried out for it, didn't get it.
Well, what if you long snap the rocks?
Can you tell the difference, Joshy, between a crow and a raven?
I don't know if I've ever thought of it. I'm not a big bird watching guy.
Although, aren't crows a lot more populous? Like, if I see a bird that looks like a crow slash raven... I'm going to go with crow because I feel like they're just more of them.
I just assume I've never seen a raven.
Unless I'm in Baltimore.
Yeah, except
in which case,
then there's lots of ravens.
That's a raven.
Fair? I don't know. I don't know if it's hard to tell them apart. Right?
Wait, so you're telling me you might have been throwing rocks at ravens?
Yeah. Yeah. Three-eyed raven.
Ravens are larger and have wedge-shaped tails and make a deep croaking sound, while crows have fan-shaped tails and produce a cawing sound.
Ooh, caw versus what?
Croak.
All right, that'll help.
Tracks for ravens.
Nevermore.
Yeah, death and the whole nine yards.
I can't wait to hear Chewy's next story about the birds, because wasn't the birds crows? Weren't those crows? Or were those different birds? The birds, Hitchcock.
Oh, those were,
Hitchcock,
the movie birds?
It? Yeah.
I think those were crows.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
And they attacked the lady.
True, you think they're plotting to kill you?
I wonder why they never remade that. They'd like to, Gabe, but I outsmart them.
I'm going to be honest. You getting attacked and injured by crows would be the best thing to happen to this program.
It would be good for content.
Dumbest thing. This is the dumbest thing.
It would be good for content.
Right? So you guys know I stockpile bread.
Yeah.
I didn't know
through the
that.
Winter time for the birds.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Maybe I'm the only one who knew that, Chew, but there's at least one person on the panel.
I get yelled at. I get yelled at by Angie because one of the freezers is full of bread, so I freed him. And some idiot who claims he knows everything about birds tells me that feeding birds bread is bad for them. I'm like, my dad fed birds bread forever. He always looked after the birds. I'm like, give me a break. You believe that or no?
Well, whether we do or don't, we're looking it up right now. So.
Yeah, I was about to say, in your hour-long Google search yesterday, you didn't...
Yes.
I mean, I'm trying
to
do...
Birds is generally considered bad for their health and well-being. Bread is high in carbohydrates and lacks the essential nutrients that birds need, including protein, fats, and vitamins. Regularly feeding birds bread can lead to nutritional deficiencies, overfeeding, and even disease.
Ooh.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Stupid.
I'm just trying to figure out the relationship.
If that's the case, then why do
the birds,
why do they keep coming back to eat the bread?
They love it.
Well, yeah.
It's just like me and tiramisu.
Yeah. So there you go.
You know?
It's like, why did the dog eat so much it killed itself? Well, because they're an animal.
I'm sitting there trying to do a nice thing, Joshy, and this guy's got a crap all over it. That was just...
Okay, yes.
This guy being scientists?
This is what I was trying to figure out, gang, okay? Because it started with the birds are crapping on his thing. But then we find out he throws rocks at the birds. But then we find out that he feeds the birds. I'm trying to figure out how this relationship works.
You don't know what you're doing. You're out there just freewheeling.
No. I did the same thing with my brothers.
You fed them bread?
Threw rocks at them
sometimes.
Sometimes fed them bread.
Sometimes ratted them out to my parents when they didn't do certain things.
Well, that sounds like pretty standard sibling
tattletale.
All right, we got to get to Jason Wilde. I mean, this was a wild ride. This was
we're loose. We're good.
We're warmed up. We're all stretched out. Jason Wilde coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Certainly, we will talk to him about the comments made by Brian Gutekunst yesterday. What, if any, clues Goody gave about the direction the Green Bay Packers will go in the draft? That's next.
Today's the last day you want to take advantage. Buy one, get one. Screaming Sicilian. Now that's something to scream about. I took advantage of this weekend. Because I happen to be at Metro Market, but stop by either Pick and Save or Metro Market and pick up Screamin' Sicilian Original and buy one, get one. An incredible BOGO on Screamin' Sicilian favorites. If you're unfamiliar, the great classic crust, the great sauce, cheese, mountain of toppings. You are not going to be disappointed with Screamin' Sicilian. Again, it ends today, so stop by Pick and Save or Metro Market and get BOGO. Buy one, get one on your Screamin' Sicilian favorites. That way you can taste what all the screaming is about.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jason Wilde, one of the intrepid reporters who was at Goody's availability yesterday. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Intrepid. How are you?
All right. Perfect. Is it starting to ramp up there? Are you starting to feel an energy? I know the buildings are going up and the spaces are roped off and whatnot. Does it feel different up there in Green Bay today?
No. Not yet. Ooh. Although I haven't really been out other than walking the dogs. So you'll have to wait. So yesterday, obviously, I was at Lambeau, and other than, like, security, you know, kind of handling the fenced-off draft campus and workers scurrying about doing, you know, last-minute work on structures or cleaning things up or moving things around, like, I don't see, like, this throng of people, right? Because if you're coming to the draft, you're not coming on Monday. And I was just watching the local news this morning, and, like, we've got a bunch of food trucks that are going to be in downtown Green Bay today. But I'm trying to figure out, well, who are the people that are going to eat at the food trucks? Like, Paula and I and the girls were like, well, we should go down there so we can support them, because I don't think there's, like, a bunch of people in town yet for the draft. So I have not gotten that feeling. I will be out and about later today after our show ends. so I will be better able to get a feel for things. But no, I don't think it's kind of the calm before the storm. I don't think it's ramping up, other than everyone getting everything, you know, the final touches in place.
Yeah, a lot of ops people, a lot of ESPN and NFL Network ops people who are going to be, you know, putting the draft on, who are in town now. But to your point, not a lot of fans that have traveled to Green Bay this early. So what was your biggest takeaway yesterday from Goody's availability?
There were a couple. One, which is, I'm sure, something that made Gabe feel great. It's that, hey, if we ever play a game this week, I feel really good about our team. We've got a very good team. That was interesting, because I'll be honest.
We're going to reconnect with
okay.
Jason.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was,
I thought it was me. I thought it was my ears.
No. Yeah, no. It was.
It's my side. I'm just going to recall him.
He did say, though, I did pick it up as I was, you know, every other syllable there, that the interesting thing was something that we discussed this morning in our production meeting. Right now, Chew, Goody feels very good about the roster he has. He feels like they could go to battle now, go on the field now, and have a good showing with the roster that they currently have. Your reaction?
Yeah, they could, outside of receiver and defensive line.
Well, no, but here's the thing, Chew. Do I think they can go out there and compete? Yeah, they can go out there and compete.
Yeah.
They can play.
But like
they're not going to compete at the highest level, but they can go out there and compete and play.
We've seen that movie.
Yeah, we saw it all of last year.
No, and I said it earlier this year, and I believe I said it this year. They can beat anybody. They just can't beat four quality teams in consecutive weeks.
In a row.
Mm-hmm. They don't. Okay? Can they get to the NFC Championship game? Sure. Can they win two of those games against high-quality teams? Sure. They're not winning four.
Jason Wilde is back with us, so we'll go back to Jason. Jason, we were just saying what you had said, which was that quote from Goody about he feels confident in the roster he has currently, pre-draft, feels like they could go out there and compete. And I think we all had the same reaction, which was like, define compete. You know, could you play the whole game? Absolutely. Would you win the game? It's a crapshoot.
Yeah, no, I interpreted it as, I'm sorry, but I've got my corded headphones, Gabe. I don't understand what the problem is here.
I mean, maybe one of the cats started chewing on the cord and it's a little frayed, Jason.
No, they're nowhere to be found. It's just me and Stella right now talking. All right, so here's what I think. I think, you know, when he said stuff like how good he feels about the wide receiver group earlier this offseason, or when he had that line at the NFL meetings about how from a four-man pass rush perspective, we have everything we need on the roster right now. You know, we talked about how, at least in my opinion, those felt like, well, what the hell is he going to say? He added Mecole Hardman at wide receiver, and he added no one on the defensive line. But after yesterday and the way he said what he did, I am convinced that he is convinced that he's got a really good football team. And he's got a bunch of third and fourth year guys who are really going to break through this season. And he thinks that his grand plan, which Rob Domofsky wrote about toward the end of the season, I think he's a true believer in it. I want to revise my thought on him saying those other things previously. I think he's a true believer. And so, yes, he's not going to say, well, I don't need these 8 draft picks. You guys just let some other team use them. Obviously, he's going to exercise them, and obviously those guys, in his opinion, will make the team even better. But I don't think he was paying lip service to that now. I really, that was my biggest takeaway yesterday, was that he feels strongly about the quality of this roster, even if the rest of us have, as I heard Chewy's finishing up there, have some doubts about just how good it is and how far this team could go.
Yeah, but is that GM arrogance, Jason? Is that,
maybe.
Well, these are my guys. I drafted them, so they have to be good. Because is he an arrogant guy? He's a stubborn guy?
Yeah, arrogant is obviously a strong word. I don't necessarily want to use that, but he's definitely someone who believes that what he does is the right decision. You know, we've had conversations before about how collaborative he may or may not be outside of his personnel staff. But the fact of the matter is that, like I said, I really do think, whether it's hubris or whether it's overconfidence or whether he's right, whatever it is, he does believe it. And so, you know, I don't know which way they'll go at 23. The other thing that I was really intrigued by, which I came away thinking, well, they're not going to do that now. You know, I basically asked them, how special would a guy have to be for you to go up and get someone as opposed to staying put and just picking? And because if you look at his track record, he has never had a draft where he failed to take a first-round pick, a second-round pick, and a third-round pick. Now, he had two second-round picks in 2022, and he packaged them to go up to the top of the second round to take Watson. But he doesn't have extra ammunition to move up if he wants to. And I don't think he wants to do that to begin with. I think, you know, they had McMillan in for a visit. They went to see his Goody went to see his pro day. He was very coy about him yesterday, Teterowa McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona. Whereas when people asked him about Cooper DeJean last year, I remember this very vividly, he gave an incredibly detailed answer, and a handful of us kind of all turned to each other and said, well, he's not picking Cooper DeJean, because why would you say all those things about him publicly? And that turned out to be the case, right? They watched him go right on by, and he went into the second round. So the way he answered the McMillan question made me wonder if there's a little bit of, you know, oh, maybe this guy's worth going up if he starts to fall. But I wouldn't be surprised after that conversation yesterday if he stays put the first 2 days, just picks where he's picking, or trades back to accumulate more picks. I don't get the sense that this is going to be an urgent, aggressive approach in this draft.
What did you make of him talking about athleticism versus collegiate production?
We don't look at the RAS scores, Gabe.
Oh, and we don't have anything like that, except we have something that is like that that tells us how athletic
analytics
somebody is.
Tells how athletic they are. Okay, so you don't call them RAS. Gotcha.
Exactly. That is, and I didn't want to be belligerent, but I was like, okay, so you call it something else.
Correct.
I get it. But yeah, that was really interesting to me because, I mean, he knew I was talking about Shamar Stewart, obviously.
Yeah, you guys were talking about Shamar Stewart without talking about Shamar Stewart.
Yes, and we were talking about you, frankly, because I know how excited you are about that possibility. Every GM is going to tell you that, well, it all factors in, right? What I thought was the most interesting was then after we had that back and forth about athleticism versus production or potential versus production, the thing that I came away with, and I actually wrote about it on Channel 3000, was the fact that, you know, this whole idea, and I've heard him say it hundreds of times, I feel like, at this point, about guys who love football, I really do think, and Chewy, this, when you were playing, I don't think this was quite as big of an issue, but I think with the advent of NIL and the transfer portal and guys being able to make enough money with the explosion of the TV contracts, that there are a lot of guys that basically want to get in, get their money, and get out. Mm-hmm. And it's not the same as it was when you were playing, where you had to try and eke out one more year, right, to make a little more money, right? Like, I look at a guy like Josh.
It's like Ryan Ramczyk, right?
Right.
Retiring at 30, like, what are you doing? You're an old lineman.
Right, and he's dealt with injuries, and he's gotten his big second contract. And he's like, I'm good. Thanks for having me. So, I, you know, asking him about that, I always use Eddie Lacy, who I really, really like as a guy. Like, I know he's going to be in town during the draft doing some stuff. I really like him. And one of the things I like about him is that he never made any bones about the fact that he didn't really love football. He was good at it, but, like, he didn't watch a bunch of football in his free time. You know, it just wasn't his jam. And I think there are more and more players like that. And so that is another one of the pieces of Goody's puzzle, is he wants guys that their priorities aren't going to change, that they are all about ball. And I'm sure that they have gone through this process and decided this guy, you know, this is a means to an end for this guy, which, it, by the way, I have no problem with, right? Like, mm-hmm. if you have the ability to do it and make that money and then go do something else where you're not giving yourself CTE by crashing into people in every, you know, every Sunday, great. I don't think that's a bad thing to feel, but certainly if you're a general manager, you don't want guys like that. You want guys that are going to keep running through that wall until you cut him with 2 years left on his contract and he doesn't get the money that he was supposed to get.
Jason, before we let you go, it does feel like there is a narrative around Goody's picks and commitment to his picks where he believes in these guys. He thinks they are taking the right steps. We talked about Lucas Van Ness as an example. On the flip side, Jordan Love is one of his guys as well. And what I keep struggling with is, call it stacking the deck, call it confirmation bias, call it whatever you want. Doesn't putting a number one wide receiver on the offense for Jordan Love help this idea that Jordan Love was the right pick? I mean, maybe if we all are at this idea that like Jordan is good but not great, if you're Goody and you want to be able to show that your guy actually is great, feels like you could stack the deck a little bit and help him out with a productive, talented, bona fide number one wide receiver. How are we missing each other, Goody and I, if you want to talk about supporting guys like LVN and the process and all of that, but not helping out Jordan Love by giving him a receiver slash weapon?
Well, obviously, Jen, they have great wide receivers. I mean, it just he drafted them too, right? And so this is, I'll tell you this, this is absolutely brilliant. Like, I don't even know how to augment what you said because you made so many good points. Like, you're right. You're absolutely right. And Goody doesn't agree. I don't know why, but he doesn't agree. Like, I totally agree with you. I don't run the team, and it's a good thing that I don't. But you're right. Like, the amount of grace he gives guys, like, I mean, my God, Rashawn Gary is going into year 7, right? If my math is correct.
I'm sure he's he's right where they want him to be developmental wise, Jason. He's right where they want to be.
Yeah, you know, now they're gonna be in the second year in the system, even though he had his hand on the ground in college. So it's really the system he spent his time in Michigan. Like, yeah, LVN's the poster child for it, right? Oh, he's very young. We heard that again yesterday. He's still very young. He barely played at Iowa. Well, then why'd you draft him if he barely played at Iowa? Because of his potential. But sooner or later, that potential's got to hit. And to your point about a wide receiver, maybe we're having this conversation on Friday morning about, hey, he listened to Jen. He must have caught the podcast. Right? Maybe they pick a wide receiver and end the 22 draft streak of doing that. But if you were requiring me to put a wager on it, I don't think it's going to be a wide receiver. And if I'm wrong, it'll be a great conversation on Friday, and you could take a victory lap that you, of all people, finally got through to Goody about your very logical, smart position.
Can't imagine. Can't imagine Goody is spending any time listening to ESPN Wisconsin this week, but one can hope. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great show. We'll talk to you again soon.
Maybe you got the new app. It's so easy to use. It's great. Even Goody can use it. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
I hope that
it's so easy. Even Goody can use it.
ESPN Wisconsin. Was that a shot?
At Goody?
Kind of has to be, doesn't it?
No, Goody's biggest problem is everyone has eyes.
Right.
That's
right.
A shot.
The Emperor has no clothes. What are we doing over here? You remember the moments from that magical march in 2005. Frank Kaminsky leading the charge for Bo Ryan and Wisconsin in a run to the championship. Relive it all with Made 'em Believe. It's June 26th. You can join Frank, Sam Decker, Coach Bo Ryan, and others for an intimate night at the Orpheum Theater in Madison, celebrating the 10-year anniversary. Tickets are on sale now at uwhoops2015.com. That's uwhoops2015.com. Made 'em Believe is June 26th at the Orpheum Theater in Madison. It's presented by Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, Potosi Variety Ale, Potosi Hard Seltzer, and 3M Insurance.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Maybe,
maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, the week of the NFL draft in Wisconsin, in Green Bay. Things are starting to ramp up outside of Lambeau Field, the site of the NFL draft on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. Brian Gutekunst spoke to the media yesterday. We've talked about a few of the things that he had to say, and there were several things that popped. We will get to the big ones throughout the show this morning. But I want to talk about this, because Jason was astute enough to say to Goody, hey, we're looking at your visits. We're looking at the players that you are obviously taking an interest in this portion of the process. And we're seeing a lot of wide receivers. Can we take anything from that? Is there any information we can glean from your recent behavior? Take a listen.
You know, you get the Javon Walker question every year, but do you think you're looking at the position any differently this year because of the visits you had and maybe where your roster is at that position?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I feel really good about our roster right now. I mean, I think that's one of the – it doesn't happen every year. I mean, every year is a little bit different. But, like, you know, if we had to go play next week, I feel really good about our roster and our ability to win and go compete. So, really across the board. So, you know, hopefully as this draft unfolds, we're able to just kind of sit back and select the best players that fall to us. I mean, that'll be, you know, I think something we prepare ourselves to be in. So, no, I don't think we've looked at it really any differently than other than certainly if there's an opportunity to take a player at that position that makes sense, we'll do it. But I don't think we feel like we need to do anything.
Chewy, the other thing that Jason said is maybe this is all smoke and mirrors. Maybe this is a red herring, the interest in Tet McMillan, who a lot of people think will be gone. Although Todd McShay did release yesterday that when he went back and looked at all of the wide receiver prospects and went back with clear eyes, clear head, can't lose type of thing, he put Tet McMillan at 50th on his big board, the 50th best prospect in the NFL draft. What do you think of what Goody is saying about his current roster and the way that he is using these visits and the way that he seems to be approaching the wide receiver position with the injury to Christian Watson and how they performed last season?
Well, I don't agree with him, although I do agree that these are big years for certain players coming, like Rashawn Gary. You are what you are going into your seventh year, okay? You are what you are. You're not developing anymore. If anything, you're on the backside. Lucas Van Ness, I get it. It's his guy. And it was a questionable pick. The guy didn't start at Iowa, but he was a freak, and everyone kind of looked over that, physically a freak. But my thing is, if you put Lucas Van Ness's 10 best plays up against his 10 worst plays, I think you're going to be scratching your head going, what in the world happened here? Now for the receiver side, okay? Wicks, it's a big year for him. He's got to, he has to, because he plateaued last year, I believe. He's got to make a big jump to catch up to where he should be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or he's just another MVS, right?
Well, the sad part is, Chewy, is MVS has been more productive. Like, everybody wants to, like, MVS.
Yes.
Of all the receivers that Goody has drafted, Jaden Reed is one. MVS is two in terms of production.
But we all fall into this trap of last year, and we all remember it. We all fall. Wicks could be their best guy. He could be their number one guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he could be. Well, no, he can't. All right? No, it didn't happen. It wasn't even close to happening. And then we listen to this, oh, who was he talking about? Jair saying had to be triple teamed. And I'm not saying
Romeo.
Everyone listened to it, but I'm like, come on, give me a break for crying out loud. And then Reed's got to, I got to see, why were you so good in the beginning of the year? And you disappeared the second half of the year. Right? Those are all questions. And I can't tell, and I know GMs fall in love with their guys. This sounds a little bit like what Goody's doing, but
I'll tell you what, though. I feel like the interest in Tet McMillan for Goody is real. And Jason kind of alluded to it, because last year he gave like this huge in-depth answer to Cooper DeJean, and everyone went, oh, okay, they're not going to take Cooper. But when kind of asked about Tet, here is what Goody had to say about McMillan in yesterday's press conference.
Brian, there was the report that you were the only GM to go watch McMillan's workout in Arizona. What
I was there.
Oh, you weren't? Okay.
He fumbled the microphone.
I don't know if I was.
That's what that was.
Yeah. And I don't know if I was the only one there. I may be the only one reported to be there. But no, good. You know, we had him up for a 30 visit as well. And we've kind of, he's, you know, a third year junior coming out. So we've spent a lot of time with him. So it's been good.
But Gabe, in order to move up to 14, what would he have to give him?
Oh, yeah. But again,
what it's going to take.
I'm just saying the interest in Tet is real. Whether or not they end up with him is another thing, because Rob Domofsky yesterday on Wilde and Tausch said he knows that the interest in Tet is also real. He doesn't believe the Packers are going to draft a wide receiver unless it's Tet McMillan in the first round. Also believes that Tet McMillan will not be available in the first round.
I agree with you what McShay said about him. I don't know about 50, but there are definitely concerns. You look at his weakness, and there are definite concerns, and to me, those weaknesses spell lazy. Lazy, you know.
What were the weaknesses that popped off for you two?
I don't know.
Okay. I will read from the Beast. The Beast has weaknesses for Tet. I'll tell you what it says. Tell me if this is what tracks with what you saw. Needs to continue adding bulk and strength to his slender frame, which we have seen that. I mean, Christian Watson
that's not
been
a big
on
deal.
The
not
Green Bay Packers roster. Physical press corners will be a new challenge for him.
Damn
average
like
deep
that.
Speed and lacks a pull-away gear.
That's
simplistic
concerning.
Route tree in college, which again, sometimes you can't blame these guys for the route tree that they were given in college. If that's what they ran offensively, what are they supposed to do? Be like, hey, I'm going to need some more complex routes, okay? I hope to play at the next level. I got to put something on film. His pattern manipulation needs further maturation. Many of his big plays on tape came on outside of route structure on scramble drills. That's interesting.
That's concerning. What that says to me is he's not a very good route runner.
Yeah, but also we read all his negatives. So if we do the inverse, then you start hearing a story of somebody where you start to salivate. If you read highly productive in all receiving columns over 2 years, tape filled with highlight reel touchdowns, clever hand fighter on cover at top of his routes, adjusts routes to coverage and scrambles for his quarterback when needed, feels coverage in space and adjusts route accordingly, uses long strides to uncover and add yards across the field, rescues throws with catch radius. Like,
I know, but
doesn't that fit Jordan Love perfectly? Don't we need that?
Well, this here says, guys, he fits the T. Higgins mold as a unique playmaker because of his size and catch point skills.
The thing that scares me most out about what Jen just read, the press coverage thing. And we've already got one guy that struggles with press coverage right now.
Yeah.
Do we need another? And that would be the only negative to me, Chu. And again, that's just my ear in terms of that stands out. But
and then if I hear that scouting report, you know what I'm doing? Because you know what kills him with the bump is he doesn't have a fifth gear. It says he doesn't have that next speed. So you get bumped at the line, and then you can't separate because you have no speed against the DB. Those are just concerning, you know? I mean, I loved mine. I've said it a million times. Catches the ball well in crowds because he's always in one. Caught it.
So as we continue talking about Tet and the wide receiver situation, one last thing from Goody yesterday. Take a listen to this.
This is from Rob Domofsky.
Oh, thank you so much.
And it sure sounds like McMillan is not going to be there at 23. I went through with a personnel person mid last week on just, you know, where he thought the whole first round was going to fall from about, I think it was, we started around 12 or 13 to where the Packers went. And I mean, McMillan could go, he could go to Dallas at 12. I mean, I just don't see how he gets to 23. I do think that if he were to happen to be there at 23, the streak would end. I really believe that they would pick him from what I was told, but I just don't think that's realistic.
Jen, can you read me Golden's negatives?
I can. Because why don't we do it when we come back?
Okay.
Take a quick break.
I didn't have a big problem with him.
Take a big break. We'll take a break. I will read you Golden's report out of The Athletic's The Beast, the 2025 NFL Draft Guide. But I think this whole thing is fascinating. So I want to continue this conversation about the wide receivers, about what Goody is saying, what we can extrapolate from what he said yesterday. Maybe nothing. But you know what I did extrapolate, guys? Somebody else was there at that pro day, right? When he says he was the only GM there, he says, I don't know, somebody else might have been there. I was the only one reported. I got the impression somebody else was there. It just didn't get out.
That's not what I got.
Really?
I got him. Oh, yeah. Clearly, so many other people were there. A lot of people love him. I mean, it's not just me. A lot of other people love him.
I think he was vague enough to say, like, there's probably some, you know, head of scouting, but not quite GMs. Like, the people who reported it said he was the only general manager
but
there.
But there were other teams represented there. Yes, go ahead, Gabe.
Need a new vehicle? Check out Ewald Automotive Group's Spring Into a New Ride sales event. With over 1,500 new and used vehicles, low price guarantee on new vehicles, you can shop their best certified used car starting at under, catch this price, $9,995. That's right, best used cars starting under $9,995. Financing for everyone, no payments till summer with approved credit, and now is the time to upgrade with Ewald. It's always family, friendly people who treat you right, great selection, low, low prices, and of course they have great selection because they have 10 locations. With Ewald, it's easy. It always starts at ewaldauto.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jay Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting. The Broncos
Burma?
The
that
last 2 weeks. You guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what makes me happy? My wife being happy. Shut up, Gabe. I'm not singing today. That's why we go to the jewelry center. Let's be honest, most guys don't have a clue when it comes to buying jewelry. Gabe, I guess, was one of the smart ones. Got the engagement ring and the wedding bands for his wedding in 2022. They also do in-house repairs for watches and other fine jewelry, like my championship ring when it needs work. I know where I'll be taking it to the jewelry center. They have 3 locations to stop into: Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can look through all the many styles of diamonds and other fine cuts online at shoptjc.com. I'm living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The Jewelry Center will make it happen. Brookfield, Greenfield, Burlington, and online at shoptjc.com.
Chewy, I promised you a scouting report on Matthew Golden.
A reading from the book of wide receiver.
A reading from the book of the beast.
Oh,
there we go. Chew, you and I are both on the same page. Okay, so you want strengths or weaknesses first?
Give me the weaknesses.
Not a dynamic make-you-miss athlete in space. Doesn't always play up to his timed speed. Can get stuck at the top of routes when facing physical defensive backs. Inconsistent blocker and can get blasted off his spot. Didn't play on special teams coverages. Missed 2 games as a freshman after suffering a rib injury. So that is a short list of weaknesses, by the way, guys. I mean,
yeah,
one was
of,
didn't play on
reaches.
Special teams, and one was missed 2 games as a freshman with a rib injury, missed 3 games of his sophomore season because of turf toe. Yeah, that's not a long list of weaknesses for Matthew Golden.
But it seems like there's a lack of route running ability there, Chu, that would have to
Yeah, but you know what they're going to do in the NFL? They're going to optimize his speed. They're going to get it out of him. That's fixable, you know? But things like Gabe, like doesn't have a second or third gear, like we heard about Tet.
Well, the top
end
gear.
That's concerning.
Yeah, he doesn't have top end speed, but not everybody in the NFL does. You know, like you didn't have top end speed and seemed to be okay.
Oh, but I learned to play faster because I learned how to play faster and I explain it when people ask, especially guys that are looking to play in the NFL, I said, you have to learn to play a hair away from out of control. Mm-hmm. You do. You got to find that. You got to play. And he doesn't. Most college guys don't know. I didn't know it. And a lot of these college kids, let me tell you what, they will get the speed out of Golden, right? I look at that as they can get it out of them. If you don't have it, you can't get it out of them when it comes to Tet. I'm telling you, Tet's going to get into the league and they're like, he doesn't like bump, huh? And he can't separate? All right, let's just bump him all day long.
But you could also coach him to, because.
You can.
So you're telling me, it seems like to me, you like Golden, so you're willing to overlook some of the negatives. You don't like Tet and you want to focus on the negatives.
That's what it sounds like.
Because you can teach some things, but then you can't teach things for this guy.
Give me the negatives again for Golden, and I'll tell you the ones that are concerning and the ones that are fixable.
thought the first reading was over, so I put the good book away. But let me get
here.
Get
I can pull it up here. I've got the.
I got Golden in front of me. You want the weaknesses?
Yes.
Not a dynamic, make you miss athlete in space. Doesn't always play up to his time speed. Can get stuck at the top of routes when facing physical defensive backs.
That's fixable.
Inconsistent blocker, can get blasted off his spot.
Who cares? I could give
two
crap.
That's it. The other things we joked around about, didn't play special teams again. Not his fault. You could argue that some guys are so valuable to their offense, they don't want them out there on special teams, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying, I can see, I don't know about 50, what McShay said, but I could, yes.
But again, like in terms of the things that, and you tell me when it comes to Tet, needs to continue adding bulk and strength through a slender frame. You get in an NFL weight room, 100%. Get in an NFL, okay, that seems physical. Physical press corners will be a new challenge for him. That's not, he struggles against that's just going to be something that he's going to have to deal with. Average deep speed lacks pull away gear. That can't be fixed. Your speed's your speed. So I get that. Simplistic route tree in college and pattern manipulation needs further maturation.
That's
not on him.
Difference college or pro,
Big plays on tape came outside of route structure on scramble drills.
Fine.
Yeah,
well,
whatever.
To me, I read that as you're a playmaker.
You're not getting open initially.
But I also see, yes, that's true as well. But also, you can make something out of nothing. Chicken salad type of thing.
Yeah.
Tends to be loose with ball post-catch and needs better security as a runner.
Who cares? That's fixable.
too many passive blocking reps on tape.
Who cares?
He doesn't like to block.
Acknowledged bad body language had to be addressed in 2024 struggles.
Issue.
McMillan, quote, I had to fix it and grow up.
Issue. Right?
Well, but if he acknowledged it.
Also, it's Arizona.
Sure, but it's there.
What do you say, a little party state?
I mean, hold on. Let me ask
no,
you this.
No, bad
hold on.
Football.
Peeps.
Yeah.
Peeps. Do we look at Romeo Doubs in a different light this year than we did last year?
Yeah, of course.
Yes.
Of course. But that's actually quitting on your team.
But I actually don't hold it against him as much as I'm just like wary of it rearing its ugly head again.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
We look at him differently.
But that's different than bad body language. You know? Like that's way different than bad body language.
Of it.
I'm afraid, honestly, that we are spending way too much time on a position that the Packers actually aren't going to draft, and none of these two guys are going to be available when they finally do address.
Well, it doesn't
the position.
Matter. They're not taking gold. They're taking one receiver. They're taking one receiver only if he's there, and he's not going to be there. It's Tet.
Okay. Cooper DeJean.
He had zero interceptions last year, by the way.
Cooper DeJean.
Had zero picks.
Should they have taken Cooper DeJean? Hell yeah.
We're not. Gabe nor I are saying don't draft Matthew Golden. We're just telling you
I've been on the record of loving Matthew Golden's
speech.
I told you
he was the guy you wanted.
Gabe said he should be a free agent, which I don't agree with.
Should go undrafted.
When we did what Chewy wants, I told you you were describing Matthew Golden, and then you got stuck on Emeka Ogbuka somehow.
I don't remember that.
Of course.
Ohio
I'm
going to
need the tape.
I'm going to need the luckily you can find the tape, Chewy, with the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I believe
we
it's on
have
our
to take a break. A lot of stuff to get to, including Chewy's power rankings, which he spent a lot of time on.
So good.
Show prep.
Stick around.